We can pray. Well, we can pray. We thank thee, our God and Father, that we can pray and ask for help in time of need, a leading of thy Spirit, a fresh portion for our hearts and souls as we journey on this pathway of faith. Give us a word in season. Pray for each one of us. Thou knowest our state of soul, and we thank thee that our standing is sure before thee. So we look to thee to magnify and glorify thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for thy love. In this precious and worthy name we pray. Amen. You can read in a verse or two in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a lot of young people here, and if you haven't taken up Romans to study it yet, I would encourage you to do so. It is a very important book of explanation to our Christian faith. The first 11 chapters give us doctrine. It gives us teaching. It tells us that the uncultured man was in sin. The law, those that were of Israel, were sinners. It tells us that those that are Greeks, I believe, are sinners as well. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it really brings us to, in later chapters, of how one is saved. Sometimes we struggle with things. We struggle, you know, we ponder, why is it that I constantly go and I sin? Why is that? Well, it's because we have the old nature. But we need to count ourselves dead. We need to count ourselves crucified to the cross. And we see that in Christ, in the new life that he's given us, that we have a power to live in a way that's pleasing to him. So in chapter 12 on is really exhortation by the apostle, but we need to understand the previous chapters, the doctrine, the teaching, and understand how we're being exhorted. So this first exhortation is, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In it was brought out recently to me in John chapter 1, where John the Baptist, he announced the Lord. He says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He announced the Lord as the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And when we think of him, the living sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, you know, his life was perfect. His life was a living sacrifice to God. He was of such such a sacrifice, a sweet-smelling savor unto God. And it's a it's a reasonable service for us. How can we be a living sacrifice? Well, I would suggest that it's being like the Lord, the perfect sacrifice. And one of the many defining things about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he always did the will of the Father. And that's what he did. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, the disciples are going to get food and the Lord's at the well. And they come back with food and they offer it to him. And they're a little bit confused as to why the Lord's not eating. And Jesus saith unto them, verse 34 of chapter 4, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In the Gospels, I'd encourage us to study it because it shows us the Lord's life. The Spirit of God had these four people, men, write down the things that the Lord did. And one of the things I've noticed is that the Lord was often in the morning away in prayer. He was away from others. He was away from his own disciples. He was up in a mountain or in a desert place in prayer. And when I think about that, that's the perfect example for us, isn't it? To be in the morning in prayer with who? With God the Father and with the Lord. The Father sent the Son. And in a portion of Scripture, the Lord says, Even as the Father has sent me, even so I send you. So, does that mean you? It means you, and you, and you, all of us. Each one of us who have been saved by the grace of God, we are now not only redeemed by, saved by His grace and by the work upon the cross, but we're also sent forth to be light and salt. But we're not saved. He didn't do the work upon the cross just to save us from hell, but also to make us a blessing to others, to have a sweet communion with Him. And before I deviate too much, so the Lord was in prayer and communion with the Father in the morning. So that is a perfect example for me to follow, for each one of us to follow. Be in prayer and communion with the Lord. And how do we do that? Well, prayer is where we talk with God and our Father, but we read His Word and we get things. His Spirit with our spirit, in another portion it says, we have that communion, our spirit with His Spirit. So we're not left alone anymore to do what Eugene wants to do. To do what Eugene, the old man, wants to do. I'm not left that way. He wants me to do His will. Is it worth it? Is it worth it for me to do His will? Well, it's a miserable life as a Christian to not do it. Why? Because I would be grieving the Spirit. I would be grieving the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't want me or you, any one of us who are believers, to be doing our own will. The Spirit would magnify Christ. The Spirit would bring Christ before me, Him as my object. And that's where the Spirit wants to bring me, to to look upon Christ. There's the parable of the seed and the four parcels of earth. And I'm just taking an application out of it, I believe. There's the seed that falls among the brambles, where it's the word is choked up because there's all these brambles that come up before the seed can produce fruit. And as an application, I think of my life and yours and how the Word of God is working in us, and we're perhaps starting to bear fruit. And then these things come up where there's responsibilities. There's cares. Perhaps there's peer pressure. Perhaps there's friends who are drawing us down because they're of the earth. Verse 2 here, be not conformed to this world. Am I going to be conformed by my peers? Am I going to be conformed to this world by success, where I'm striving for success? Or am I going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? In chapter 8 of Romans, in verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we're not to be conformed to this world, but conformed to the image of his Son. Well, what's being conformed to the image of his Son is being more like Christ. Less of me in the old man, more like Christ in the new man. I'd like to encourage ourselves in one more portion. And that's in Ephesians chapter 5. And to get the context, we'll read verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. No, the Lord did everything perfectly up here upon this earth, and he is doing everything perfectly in heaven. When it says here that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, he will perform it. He will accomplish it. There's no question that, there's no question Christ will perform it. Isn't that wonderful to think about? He will accomplish it. And when he brings the church, when the marriage supper of the Lamb happens, and the church comes forth without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, he'll look upon us and see us. And we'll see him, and we'll just be enraptured with him. And I say more and more from my heart and yours, we need to be enraptured with him now. Isn't he worthy? Isn't he worthy? He's just so worthy of our love and of our affection. Affection for Christ. That's what should draw, the Spirit would have to draw my heart and yours to him, to affection for Christ.
Thank you.